Hey, you. Subscribe. This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
And they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I'd have to charge.
It's certainly better than mine. Yeah. I don't have one.
The only reason I know that song is because of Richard Cheese.
I approve.
But the actual original Kayless song, which I like saying Kayless because it's, you know, of course, the Klingon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great jogging song. It's a good rhythm to keep up. So
is
I just
it the beat and the rhythm of the night.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Everything is much better in Klingon, I guess.
I guess. Okay. Hell, let's start.
In the original Klingon, like the Shakespearean play.
Like Macbeth. Yes. No, that was Hamlet.
Hamlet.
Sorry.
Hamlet, yes. In the original Klingon.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, Hamlet is much better than the original Klingon.
God, we're f***ing nerds! This is awesome!
Yeah. Undiscovered Country is my favorite Star Trek movie, I think. Okay.
Oh, man.
So, this is Radio Free Minecraft. No,
that's pour buckets of lava on everything.
That's the pre-show. This is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I want to welcome back Phil Zeman to our show. Phil is the owner and proprietor of ASMZine.com. In the past known as Altered States Magazine, which was not a drug reference, not intentional anyway, right?
No, not at all.
Way too geeky.
Not intentionally, of course not.
No, if that was intentional, the website would have had to have a lot more crazy colors on it than it ever did.
That's actually true.
If it was G2 themed, I guess, maybe.
Ooh.
And a CyberDance space cube around the edges.
Also back, because we're recapping Toy Fair this week, is XV. Then XV is going to disappear again.
Yes.
That's sad.
Like a thief in the night.
Just yes. Like good viewership.
Yeah, there goes the two Superhero Time viewers. And Don's back. Hey, Don. Don is sans headset. Before the show, we were trying to set up his headset. I was remoted into his computer, kind of like I was trying to do with JD last week, and I was just as successful. It's you know, you never know what you're going to find when you remote into somebody's system. Like I expected JD's desktop to have I don't know, just like.
So answer me this, though. How disappointed were you when you found out it was the default desktop?
That's exactly right. I was saddened to find that Don's wasn't, full of, pictures of, of him and dressed up as Optimus Prime or anything.
I totally imagine it would be, like a hot glue shot of some anime figure, but...
Yeah, or some anime figure. I was expecting porn on JD's desktop.
No. No porn on mine. Default desktop. I haven't... it's one of those things where it's like, if I start changing it, I would never stop, and that's what I do at work. So I just leave it alone.
It's like if somebody's going to use my computer, I'm like, real quick, hold on for a second. I go to Google and I turn Safe Search back on. I'm like, okay, there you go.
You got to be careful with that, man. That sometimes you can search for very innocent things and find strange things.
Yes, yes. Someone who finds awesome things is Rob Clay. Rob found Blaster. Actually, no, you found Grimlock.
Yeah, I found Grimlock.
You didn't find Blaster. XV found Blaster. XV can go to hell.
Yeah. You die! You go to hell and you die!
Oh, awesome, Phil!
Oh, my God, Phil!
Where did you find that? Target?
This?
Walmart?
Toys R Us.
Man!
No, Phil has Sitter Twin.
Phil has Sitter Twin! It's like one of the few Beast Hunter things I actually want.
That is, so... awesome.
And in the end, it looks better.
That is so awesome and slavish to the G1 toy.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I want to go to Walmart now.
Yeah, maybe Kim's still at work. Let me IM her real quick.
I gotta make a call.
Go to Walmart. Oh, crap. I should go to Walmart because they one of those Cyberverse Optimus Primes, the Nightwatch, they had two. They were down to one the last time I went. So if they once they sell out of
it. Now there will just be nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah, sad, sadness. Hey, so, okay, so this past weekend, let's just get into it. This past weekend was Toy Fair 2013. We didn't expect a lot.
Anything?
Well, yeah, there wasn't going to be anything.
I think it's safe to say our expectations were pretty low after the last several months of Transformers.
Yeah, so lots of amazing stuff showed up. Where do you guys want to start? Where do we want to start? Do we want to, like, I guess we need to build up.
Well, yeah. But I think everybody knows what the biggest surprise of the whole show was. We'll save that for last.
Yeah, it was the Creo RC.
Yep.
Microchange RC, that was...
Amazing.
Yes.
I was shocked.
Yes.
Okay, well, not too surprising was the IDW Deluxe toys.
Yeah. I liked that because I really liked the, whenever Hasbro does with G.I. Joe the comic packs, I've always loved those. They've been doing those for about 8, 9, 10 years at this point, but they haven't really done that with Transformers. Of course, they've included comics like that, Optimus Prime reissue came with, number one, and they're probably...
And the Target Exclusive Universe 2 packs also had comics.
Yeah, but it's...
Except in Canada.
It's just not as been... It's not been, like, as... prominent with Transformers as it has with G.I. Joe, but this is like something totally new. So it's like, are these the spotlight issues that they're coming with?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And the comics are a lot better, too. Some of them.
The spotlight issues so far have been at least decent.
The recent ones.
Yeah.
The ones that they're packing in with these toys. Okay. These are all the new spotlights.
So it's not like the old crap that was released a few years ago.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah,
not all the old spotlights were bad. You know, some of them were pretty good. Drift wasn't.
Yeah,
I found Spotlight Nightbeat in a two pack at Dollar Tree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was it packed with?
A reprint of Silver Surfer number 6. The reprint itself was from 1980. It smelled like my father's trunk of Silver Age comics.
Oh my
what
god!
What the hell?
That's weird.
That's why I bought it.
One of the things I've ever heard.
How does what?
Yeah, that's why I got it. I was looking at the Silver Surfer comic first because it was the oldest looking thing there and it got my attention. And then I looked at the back and saw Transformers and it's like, yep, yeah, got to do that.
Where was this at?
Dollar Tree. They've been.
Yeah. I picked those up. Those are weird. It's usually something like She-Hulk or something that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's completely and totally random, and I also got a Jaws 3D trading card in the pack.
So whenever you give your like comic collection or even card baseball card collection to Goodwill, usually stuff ends up at Dollar Tree and Polybag where somebody's made a profit on it. So it was probably shipped to China, then shipped back in 2 comics per bag for a dollar.
I could actually Fort Max the story of how this stuff actually winds up there, but it's probably not worth the time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
As far as the the three packs, the comic packs go, we got three of them, right?
Well, we know all 5 toys in the first wave, but only 3 had package samples on display.
Okay, so it's going to be Orion Pax, Megatron, Bumblebee. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Trail Cutter.
Yeah, Trail Cutter.
Just 4 toys in the first assortment.
But the thing is, they all look nice. Even Bumblebee looks pretty good. I probably should show these on camera here. So
I mean, I'm not going to buy that Bumblebee, but...
Not even for the comic?
The thing we're missing right now is Thundercracker, who has a spotlight but no toy shown yet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming. You know it is.
Oh, of course it's coming.
So it's just going to be another reuse of that mold.
Which I'm fine with. That's a really nice mold.
Same here.
And the Bumblebee and Orion Pax, I've not read the comics, but those are the two that come with the Target Masters, right?
No, those are the Legends toys.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're jumping ahead, Don.
Yeah, they're doing an interesting thing with the Legends where they're not exactly the same size. One of them is significantly bigger than the other now, so that they can have the other one as a Target Master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
Here's a Trailbreaker, a.k.a. Trail Cutter. He looks really nice. Way better than I expect, at least in the press kit shot.
The press kit photo is obviously transformed more correctly, and the toy looks really good.
The vehicle mode looks fantastic. So, the vehicle mode is sort of reminiscent, in a way, it's an SUV, but it's not based on anything else. It's a brand new mold. For some reason, Perceptor, yeah. But
that's what I thought.
It's just similar. It's similar to, but not based on.
Yeah, Perceptor is pretty different from Trail Cutter.
It invokes it, but it's like you can see them being friends, but not like, you know.
I think they'd be frenemies. They're just a little too similar to like.
Trailbreaker is one of my favorite G1 characters. And I'm so glad we're finally getting a new classic toy of him, even if it's not the correct name.
Yeah.
Well, you can just call it Trailbreaker. It's okay.
Right. It's the correct name from now on, though.
Yeah.
Even in the comics, they're switching to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been slowly transitioning into Trail Cutter through his few appearances in More Than Meets the Eye, and I guess his spotlight's going to cement the name change.
Yeah. It's not like they haven't changed a name in continuity before. Ryan Pax looks nice, ish.
I'm still amazed that Chris McFeely totally called this. I mean, that just blows me away.
Chris McFeely is awesome. So
yeah.
And he posted the theory on AllSpark, so it. I was able to watch it go from his original theory and then other people coming in and filling in more and more details that supported it. It was a really cool process to watch that go from suspicion to all signs point to this being the actual case. Somebody had put together that the artist doing the retailer incentive covers for these spotlights was a Hasbro box art artist. And that's when it was like, okay, that is what is going on right here. It was a really cool thing to watch unfold.
Yep.
But for me, Orion Pax is kind of the loser of the assortment. Because it's just
in what way? Well,
on the one hand, I don't need this to exist.
I mean, the thing about it for me is, like, this is the first time that we've always kind of had this, Optimus Prime is Orion Pax. But this is really the first time we have, like, an original mold for an Orion Pax. Yes, the story in the comic is really convoluted, and they're really stressing it to, like, get this particular mold that's not Optimus, and yet everybody kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, it is. But, you know, it is kind of a deal where it's like we're actually getting a unique Orion Pax mold.
The other thing I think about this is that the Orion Pax use is just like a gateway toward some other use that's going to fit the toy a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's like with Fall of Cybertron Ultra Magnus, you know, that toy just works so much better as its recolor than the original release.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what do you anticipate it being?
That, I don't know. There is a sort of cup quality to it, but I don't know that we need another cup this soon after the universe.
Well, you have to have something to repaint and everything else for BotCon, so.
Well, if
that was bad, I'm sorry.
Wow.
That was bad, I take it back.
They don't.
They can always paint it as Dion.
That would be just a little too. That would be like their twins or something.
Cheap. Yeah,
but
that's a little
Dion, we could go. Dion, you can go and buy a Dion from the Collectors Club for cheaper than you can buy a retail deluxe Transformer.
Yeah, totally.
You know, if they're going to repaint a twin to Dion, they might as well take that Ironhide mold that nobody really was able to find after like the first wave of it or the first shipment. That could be a way to get reuse of the mold and also be kind of like nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Or they could take that Ultra Magnus mold and repaint it to Dion again as a nudge, nudge, wink. Or release them both as Dion. It'd be like Schrodinger's Dion.
Oh my god.
Well, even in the
Wow.
I'm sorry. I haven't had enough caffeine today, so I am.
Or maybe you've had too much.
That's possible, too.
But even in the Collector Club comic, when they had Dion and the Sentinel Prime before Optimus, they still never said who became Ultra Magnus. So Dion is whoever you want him to be.
I think Ultra Magnus sprang forth as Ultra Magnus. That's what I've always just assumed.
See, I could see that Orion being redone as, like, a G1-style Sentinel Prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got the alt mode for it. The build in the robot mode is close enough, at least.
That would work.
You know, you just need to add a chin onto it, and yep. You have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it's like you said about the Bumblebee, too. I mean, that's pretty... That seems destined for,
Hot Rod, yeah.
So...
Or Hot Shot.
Well, no, because if you redo it as Hot Rod, you get, you know, a magenta car. If you do it as Hot Shot, you get either another yellow car, or maybe you get a light blue car, you know, which, in that case, I'd rather have Night Beast.
You know, it looks like it could be another Drift. We want another Drift.
Oh, God, no, we don't. Well, and, of course, with Trail Cutter, I mean, that gives you, you know, you could get a, I don't know, could we get Hoist out of that? I think we could probably
I'm thinking maybe Skids, too.
Ooh, Skids would be great.
I could see Hoist over Skids, though.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that they might not. It might not be impossible to get both out of it.
That's very true.
Totally.
I would like to have another Skids. So.
The Skids is such a unique character design. I'm not sure how much retooling it would take to turn Trail Cutter into Skids, though, and it'd be close.
I was thinking that if we wanted to get a new Skids. Sadly, what I was thinking that would make the most sense would be to take, like, the Revenge of the Fallen Skids and give it a new head.
So you think this Megatron's going to be, like, a G2 Dreadwing? Or... That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
I would love that. I'm not sure that's where it would go, but I would love that.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Man, I was thinking about that. I don't know.
The problem is really that most of the characters that would fit that mold are colored similarly already.
Right.
I just had one thought. I may be off base here, but G-Axis.
Yeah, I kind of thought of that, too.
That would make sense.
They're going to do a Beast Machine Spy Streak homage.
I would not be against that either.
That actually would look really nice.
Yeah.
Somebody had suggested that Megatron should be recolored as Croc.
Ooh.
Which I thought was a really good idea, but again, the colors are so similar between Croc and this Megatron. If they only would have just made this Megatron silver like it, you know, like a normal Megatron.
Yeah.
Instead of making it like the comic it's being sold
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, because T-Formers has it on the same news story, I'm going to go ahead and jump to another sort of surprise that we had, which was the Triple Changers. We had a Springer and Blitzwing, both who look pretty phenomenal.
Springer is fantastic.
And Blitzwing were a huge surprise. Robot Kingdom had pre-orders up for Springer and Astro Train, which was a placeholder name for Blitzwing somehow.
yeah.
But, I mean, both of these toys exceeded anything I could have expected out of new Triple Changers.
So I had a conversation with Triplet about this over the weekend based on the live coverage that we had. Is this like a shot over the bow of the third party designers saying, hey, you know, we can do it better than you, so screw off? It is really nice. It's way better. I think it looks way better than Warbot Defender.
In terms of that, heck yeah.
If it's anything in response to the third parties, it's more a comment aimed at the fandom and saying, okay, we know you want these characters. We can do them this well. Just give us a little time to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that's why, I mean, that may even be why we're seeing this generation's focus again. Because I think Hasbro's realizing that there is at least money from the fans in it. You know,
It sells. Kids buy it.
Generations sells all kinds of ways.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been one of the most consistently selling lines. They've just kept bringing back.
It sells well, and it makes fans happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's win-win.
So.
Well, also one thing that, you know, I've got the Warbot Defender, and you're looking at 2 to 3 years of technology in toys since the Warbot Defender was out. I mean, so there's going to be some changes. I mean, yes, I love the Springer, but it's like, well, like for me, a lot of people slam the 2007 Prime versus the Revenge of the Fallen. You had 2 years of technology upgrading in toy manufacturing. So just because it's a little older doesn't mean it doesn't
well,
have.
Well, I can't.
I think the point though, Don, is like, what did you pay for Warbot Defender?
$60.
Okay, I'm going to pay $20.
Right.
25, you know, for spring.
We're going to pay between 20 and 25. And now this, I mean, it's completely subjective, of course. But I'm going to have a Springer, who I like the look of in all three modes better than Warbot. I'm very pleased if you and other people are happy with Warbot Defender.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that anybody needs to not be happy with their third party toys when a Hasbro version comes out, but for me, I'm really happy to see this Springer.
So as far as like the technology getting better, I can't say that the third party designers are learning more. They're not necessarily professional designers. Some of them may be, but they're learning the craft of making stuff better. So there's definite growth. But with Hasbro, I don't think it's necessarily the technology's getting better. The designers are probably just getting better working within the aesthetic that's put forth because of the movie designs. And I think it's all learning. I think technology, as far as designing toys and building toys, really probably hasn't improved much over the last few years. It's not like there's a Moore's law of like extruding plastic. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think
it's see that Moore's law of extruding plastic plastic being extruded.
But you know, but the designers do definitely learn stuff. So
yeah,
I didn't get all soapbox. It's just I've seen some people slam the Warbot because of the Springer, and it's like there's nothing wrong with the toy. It's just, you know,
exactly.
Blitzwing was a surprise because you got the animated homage in there as well.
So we've been told two things, or we think two things. One, does the head switch, the face switch back and forth or not? We've seen two different faces.
We've seen two different faces. The Hasbro rep was questioned about this at Toy Fair, but did not seem to be aware of a face switching gimmick. But it may have been the question was asked, and in such a way that the rep got confused or
like,
didn't
understand.
Does it
have two heads instead of does it have two faces or something?
Yeah, because when you look at that helmet, the size of it, it has to be designed for a head switching gimmick. There's just no two ways.
Yeah, it really looks like it.
And if,
go ahead, Don.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna say if the heads do switch, is this the first animated homage that we've gotten in a subsequent line?
No.
No,
well,
we have
there's lug nuts.
Yeah, we had lug nuts. Yeah. So, there's been plenty of examples.
There have been a few. I wouldn't say plenty.
There's plenty of examples to say that it's been done.
I don't think Bulkhead counts. I think since Bulkhead's now like a he's one of the mainline cast of the...
He's unified universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's...
If you look at the press kit images of... not the press kit images, the really high-resolution photos from the showroom, you can see underneath the monocle face, there's no neck connection. The chin has empty space underneath it.
Okay.
So it really looked like the head would either flip back or to the side.
Hey, Rob, can you recycle your video?
Sure.
So, Phil, I mean, so in general, with the triple changers, those look pretty great. Do you think if they sell well that we might get another stab at Astrotrain?
That's hard to say. I was having this conversation on Twitter earlier today that Broadside is really the only third or triple changer that we've not seen reference within the past few years. We've had, obviously, Springer and Blitzwing now. We've had Astrotrain
and Octane.
Tankor.
Oh, yeah, Tankor.
Octane. And... rumor has it we're getting a Sandstorm based off the Springer mold because of what we've seen in box art later, but we'll talk about that later on. So, Broadside, I don't see how they can do Broadside without making a new mold, and the triple changer is going to have to sell pretty well, I think, for them to invest in another new mold triple changer.
I think, I mean, as far as like doing, Octane and Astro Train, I really think they need, like Galvatron, they need do-overs because the deluxe scale just wasn't right for those toys.
I think Astro Train turned out okay.
It's fine. I like Astro Train. Yeah.
I think it was one of the stronger classics figures of its time.
It's okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing do-overs, but do I think they will? Maybe, but I would think we wouldn't see it this year. I think maybe the tail end of the 30th anniversary line, we might see more triple changers, but I think their focus is going to be on Springer and Blitzwing for right now. And wait to see if sales would be good for them to make more.
I think it's far more likely that since we already know they're doing Sandstorm out of that, that you would see Blitzwing repainted as Broadside.
I was just thinking about if there was a way they could do that convincingly. Like how much retooling it would need to make it work as Broadside.
Rip off the turret.
I mean, you don't even... I see them just putting it out as a tank jet, changing the head, doing a different face set or face...
It makes more sense than an aircraft carrier jet.
It absolutely makes more sense. And,
yeah, but it's
and
not
it means
nearly
when you
as
do,
fun.
Ooh, ooh, well, no. What we could do. Just make it so it doesn't transform and take the helicarrier and call that Broadside. Make it a place.
Anyway, so I think that way you have two figures, though, for your box, too. So it's like you put out two Voyager, you have two Voyagers again, you put out Sandstorm and Broadside for your next set, call it good.
Yeah.
The way I see it is that as the triple changers go, Broadside is the one that very few people remember. The most memorable thing Broadside ever did was fall Devastator as
That's
an
true.
Aircraft carrier.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
So, Broadside's definitely going to be the last thing they come to when it's like, well, we need to make a new generation's toy. Do we want to make another Optimus Prime or the dude who fell on Devastator?
I think Quick Switch would be after Broadside.
Well, and, I mean, it's definitely evidence that they're willing to go, balls out, though, because we'll talk out later.
Six shot.
But, so that's what I'm saying. A generation six shot doesn't seem as far-fetched now as it did.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome.
Even 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, if you're like, do you think they'll ever do a generation six shot?
No.
I'm like, no.
Maybe call it two
now
shot.
I'm like... Maybe.
Two shot?
Yeah. Just repaint Megatron.
Well,
okay.
I'm hoping, since we're seeing a progression from 84 to the 85 cars up to what you could call, the post-movie era, I'm hoping we're going to might be seeing Generations Master figures at some point as the next evolution of...
He's not going there. But, it's not like we haven't. It's not like Power Core Combiners wasn't basically Target Masters.
But those sucked.
No, they didn't.
Everything but the last wave of...
No, they didn't. They were awesome.
And we're getting Target Masters in the new Legends class anyway.
Exactly. Let's go to that. Mm-hmm. Let's go to that. So here's Optimus Prime in Legends class. With Roar.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, JD?
No, I'd say we probably ought to cap off the generations, but no.
There's a lot of great stuff left. Okay. So here's Optimus. That's definitely a Legends class toy. I wasn't quite certain, but I just now paid attention to the back half of the truck with his feet sticking out. Yeah, that's definitely Legends.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our...
I do like how they kind of kept the sleepover portion of the cab there.
Yeah, that's actually kind of nice. So Spike and Carly can hang out in there. Here's Roar. And so what's Bumblebee's partner?
Blazemaster,
that's right.
I can never forget the name Blazemaster because it was the Revenge of the Fallen toy everybody wanted to set on fire.
I can never forget the name Blazemaster because that's my token.
So this has to be a test shot or something because that just looks all resiny to me. The paint on Blazemaster and Roller.
Well, that's a great adjective. I love that.
Resiny.
Resiny.
The loose ones probably were hand-painted versions, but they did have package samples there,
okay,
which presumably would be more complete.
So we're getting two brand new Bumblebees. Of course, one's legend size. He looks way better than Optimus Prime does in robot mode.
It's interesting, too, this Bumblebee, because, I mean, look at the vehicle mode. The robot's based on the War for Cybertron body, but the vehicle mode is very not.
It's more animated.
Yeah-ish.
I like it. I like it a lot. I want this.
Yeah, I have to say congratulations to Hasbro after all the crap people have been rightfully giving them over the last few years. They managed to make two Bumblebees I want.
Yeah, that's really unlikely.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And this time last week, Rob, you would have never thought those words would have been strung together in that sentence like that.
Precisely. Yeah. I never would have expected that to happen. This was such a much better toy fair than last year. It's not even funny.
So since let's just wrap up Generations with the one that we sort of held off on, Metroplex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just like, boom, there you go, kids.
This is the Hasbro equivalent of just dropping the mic and walking off stage.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Did you do the cross cut, crotch shot?
What? You know, walk out. I know people the day this was revealed canceled their Fortress Maximus pre-orders.
Yeah, because how are they going to afford it otherwise?
Really?
I told Kim that I'd like to get Fortress Maximus, and she didn't freak out. We were talking about the price, and I told her it was going to be, what, $325, $350. So, I know she doesn't give a crap about any of the stuff, but I still try to talk to her about it anyway because I need an outlet. We were in the car, and I was telling her about Metroplex, and I just basically said, well, guess how much it costs? And she was like, with all that, I don't know, $500. I'm like, no. $125. So in this new era of third-party toys and crazy import reissues, $125 is cheap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's insane that I can say that.
This is a great deal for the money. I did some calculations. Fort Max back in 1987 was $100.
Yes.
That's about $200 in 2012, 2013 money. Mm-hmm. So to think you're getting something bigger than Fort Max for $125, that is a fantastic price.
We won't know if it's bigger until we see it.
Assuming it's taller by an inch or two.
They're claiming it's taller. I wouldn't say it's bigger. I mean, in the sense that it's not as girthy, but that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, no.
They have slavishly created, you know, a generation's version of G1 Metroplex. I mean, in an amazing way.
So, I'm the guy who had Metroplex on his mantle. So, I am very pleased. It was right beside my wedding photo. I am very pleased by this. I love Metroplex. He is probably my favorite G1 toy, and probably my second or third favorite toy overall. I love this. It's just amazing. I cannot be happier than this.
You have to stop and realize that this isn't a joke. This isn't a Bandai set piece we'll never see, made.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually getting this. Now, the only thing I would say is that if you've got a Fortress Maximus pre-order, you still may want to keep it, just for the fact is you'll be able to get Metroplexes for a while before Toys R Us starts raising the price, hopefully.
So,
I can't wait to get this at, like, TJ Maxx for like $50.
I will buy five.
And it will happen. It will happen.
Yeah. So I'm looking here. So he has the cannon on his shoulder that originally it was part of Six Gun. It looks like, I mean, it doesn't look like it, you know, comes apart, but I do like the fact that there are flourishes of Six Gun in here, like the feet. You know, Six Gun's basically what would have been his feet are still included on the gun. So
I mean, the Metroplex, it's amazing as a whole, but it's like, I really would like to see what they would do with the Six Gun concept today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what we will see is what a third-party manufacturer is.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
We'll see one made for about, what, $70?
They are still going to find a way to cash in on this.
So I didn't quite get this. And this, his helmet lifts up, and then there's something underneath that. What is that?
It's a control panel. The head turns into a turret in the ship and city modes.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a control
station. Oh, somebody, like a legend-sized toy can stand up there. Oh, that's awesome. That's sweet.
Is that also how you access the control for the pupils, incidentally?
I would have to think that that would be at least partly separate, because there's no point folding the helmet forward to manipulate the pupils when you can't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just my impression. I could be wrong.
So I love the box because it gives you...
Oh, that box art's beautiful.
It has all of the Autobots and Decepticons fighting on it. It's kind of like the back... It's kind of like the old back panel art back in the day, except it's up front and center. Another thing I love about this toy is the fact that his chest sticker has Optimus Prime and Autobots in there, piloting him, I guess, effectively, or at least commanding him. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful piece. I don't know what they can do next. I don't know if this is like it. Is this like the ultimate expression of Transformers love, and then there's, you know, it's all downhill from here? It's very possible.
There's still things.
It kind of depends. It can go two ways. It can go two ways from here. You know, they're putting a gamble on this Metroplex. It's the biggest, most expensive thing they've done at retail. So if it sells well enough, they will probably try to push the envelope a little bit more, hopefully not for the movie line, because that will be a disaster, but... Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, that would be bad.
In a couple of years, push it even farther, or it will do badly and Metroplex will be a one-off awesome thing that we got just because, and nothing will try to top it again, which I'd be okay with, too.
Yeah.
Do you see them doing any remolds, recolors of it to try to get more life out of the mold and recoup some costs, like, say, a Fort Max recolor?
This is the thing we're debating about. Some people are saying Metro Titan. I think that it's too obscure. I think that if they're going to repaint it, it would have to be something forced, kind of like Fort Max.
I think Metro Titan would be more likely to come out of Japan through one channel or another.
Oh God! But it's so big. Who could afford to like set that up as like an exclusive?
But I want a troop. I want a troop it and get all the More Than Meets the Eye colors.
Well, that's what we were saying, Ross, and some spray paint.
JD, it's just that basis that makes me disappointed this Metroplex is so large. You know, what I originally was hoping when it was starting to be theorized that it was going to be Metroplex revealed at Toy Fair, because that went back a few weeks, I was hoping for a weaponizer toy. You know, $30, 10 or 12 inches tall. You know, that would have been fine with me, and we could have got at least a couple recolors out of it. But this is kind of awesome, too. I just don't want to have to buy more than one.
If it's a Metro Titan, I will get a repaint of it. More likely than not, we'll probably get, like, an Energon sort of thing, like the Energon Unicron that came out. It's going to be the same toy, just slightly repainted, either slightly or heavily, just to get some more mileage out of it.
I will love to see them do a Fort Max recolor and then remold the head so that it's a detachable headmaster.
It might be like the headmaster from Animated, where it's basically just a cap or something. Plugs over.
If the cap could transform into a separate robot, I'm okay with that.
That's fine, yeah.
At the size Metroplex is, it would be really easy to make a Legends figure that turns into the head.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, real quick, so we were talking before about Sandstorm being a repaint, a remold, actually, probably a Springer. On screen here, I have a shot of that. That would be interesting. I hope that that's the case, but let's go back to Metroplex, because he's beautiful, and I love it. I want this so bad.
Something we haven't brought up yet. He talks and lights up, which a toy at that price point, you'd have to expect that, but it's nice that they're pulling dialogue from the line, from the game, and it adds to the play pattern that you can use the other Fall Cybertron toys as well.
Oh my gosh.
And the point has just come up in the chat, too, about Metroplex being a little skinny and, you know, maybe being a little bit hollow, but the thing to remember with this is that at the same time as a giant Generations Metroplex, it's also a Cyberverse / Legends playset.
Yes,
correct.
You know, yeah. it's got the ramps, it's got the empty spaces and stuff, so you can run your Legends and Cyberverse cars through there, and you know, have them hidden in compartments and everything. I mean, it's designed that way on purpose, and that probably is also partly to help survive. Well, not survive, but pass the drop tests that you know Fortress Maximus never could.
Yeah,
right.
I'd love to see them come out with a 2-pack of Scamper and Slammer in the Cyberverse.
Yes.
Just as an add-on.
But comes with Scamper.
Yeah, it comes with a Legend Scamper. It just wasn't for Toy Fair.
Okay, I guess it's
okay.
You know, people keep... I keep hearing the fall of Cybertron and stuff for this, but I don't see it.
It's very G1.
I mean, this is G1 Metroplex. This is not...
Does it come with a Slammer, though? Did we find out?
The only thing we know it comes with is Scamper.
Well, so Scamper transforms, Slammer doesn't, so it's likely that he wouldn't even be named. He would just be an accessory. So, that's if it followed the G1. Okay, so do we want to talk about Rescue Bots? Does anybody care?
Nope, done. Okay.
I like Rescue Bots, but nothing that awesome. Let's see here. We got new...
Save some time. Move on.
We got new Beast Hunters stuff.
That's great. Move on.
No, some of it's worth mentioning.
Okay.
I'm just hurriedly looking through here, though, to find something I do want to bring
up. Well, while you do that, I will just point out that, you know, with, like, Beast Hunters Optimus and Predaking, I was kind of getting hopeful for Beast Hunters to have some cool stuff, but all the stuff shown at Toy Fair has just dulled all of my interest.
Okay.
None of it appeals to me.
I am basically in full agreement there.
Kind of like Shockwave. But the one thing I do have to mention about Shockwave is that Shockwave and Smokescreen from the second wave of Deluxes together is that Hasbro did a very smart thing here. They anticipated what would have been a big complaint, and they are, I think, the only characters in these assortments that have removable armor. They are also the only non-beast characters in these assortments that are all new molds so that you can display them in a not Beast Hunter spiky mode if you really want to. So because it's only these two characters, that has to be deliberate, and that was a really smart move.
I mean, of course it was deliberate.
Yeah.
Well, when we saw the pictures of Wave 1, I saw Wave 1 back in early January, and I was telling my friends about it, and they were asking, why do you think they did that? And I telling them that if they had not made the armor non-removable, the parents would have looked at the box and said, well, you already have that toy.
Mm-hmm.
So now with the Soundwave coming back out with all the stuff stuck on and Wheeljack with the Beast Hunter stuff on there, it's not really the same toy, and the parents may not recognize it being something from an earlier wave. So they did that to get more use out of the molds and not have, you've got that character.
Yeah.
I'm not finding anything in Beast Hunters that it really tickles my fancy.
The Supreme Predaking is going to be a Target exclusive, correct?
No, it's not, actually.
Okay.
That was clarified later. I think it was Doug Monocle from ASM that actually cleared that up, but that was just it was an old slide. It's actually going to be general retail.
Oh, that's cool. So it looks like Botshots, they are being they're sort of expanding the mold somewhat. So here's a shot of Galvatron and Optimus Prime. You can tell Optimus Prime articulated is not the right word. He is more detailed than previous Botshots. The mold is a little more intricate. It's a little more finely detailed. It's nice looking. I don't know if it's enough to really save Botshots for me at this point, but I'm definitely picking up that Galvatron.
Yeah, I don't know if Botshots is going to continue after this year. You know, they've introduced two or three more styles to the Botshots to widen the play pattern, but I'm not sure how much more they can do with it.
Shockwave looks okay. I don't know. I really love the concept of Botshots, but the execution just hasn't been there.
What they need to do is make a cartoon about the game.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would
be horrible, but I'd watch it.
I would watch it. It would be like Superhero Squad.
No. I mean a cartoon about people playing the game.
Oh, no, that would be terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be
awesome. Wow. Starscream, I choose you.
I would. That's this podcast, basically. That's what XD is wanting. He's wanting this in cartoon form. So,
RFC, the animated series.
So, we got.
I'd go for that.
Yeah, we got new
shots.
We talked
about this before. I decided that Kevin Conroy would be my voice.
So we got more construct bot stuff. Are we more interested in this? I still think it's a good idea, and I look forward to buying some. I like the fact that it's interchangeable, which I think we all assumed that would be the case, but I don't know that it was explicitly stated. It's kind of hard. If this were another year and we didn't get all the awesome generation stuff, I think we would all be really excited about this.
I think this is going to be like Creel, where at first I'm like, this is never going to survive. And then through just sheer force of will, it seemed like they pushed to the second year, and now the third year, and now we're getting cooler stuff with Creel. I'm wondering if it's going to be this kind of the same thing here. It's like, yeah, okay, I get what they're doing, but I don't see this lasting. And then they'll refine it a little bit, and then all of a sudden, okay, I get to where I understand what they were trying to get to.
Mm-hmm. Or it'll be like Zevos and not make it out of its first year.
Yeah, I could be doing that, because this is definitely a very Zevos-inspired line.
Yeah,
I think they actually specifically mentioned Zevos when they were talking about this. Yeah, in which case I have to get at least one. I mean, I'm obligated.
Yeah, so I like Creo and everything, but Creo, the toys don't necessarily look like much once you build the sets. I mean, some of them are okay, but these are very... you can actually play with them once you put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the coolest thing about the Creo is the creons, the combining stuff.
Absolutely.
So for here, the Constructobots or Constructbots, there's various ways to say it, apparently. Again, I see where they're starting off with. Hasn't grabbed me. Maybe it will if I see them on the shelf and I can look at it. Can I hold the package in hand and just take a look at it? So... It's up in the air for me.
The most expensive... So there's going to be multiple price points, I think. Basically, they're all going to be roughly, though, the same size. It's just the more premium kits come with more stuff.
I believe everything's using the same base skeleton, and the only difference is the parts and number of parts that each set comes with.
And that was pretty much the Zevos model too. They were all pretty much to the same scale, but the more expensive you got, the more fun weird parts you got to swap in.
I'm all for this as long as it's not necessarily competing with generations at the same time. If they can stagger the stuff throughout the year, I'll definitely buy this. But if it's a choice between this or the Respringer, yeah, this isn't going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironhide looks really nice. So does Starscream, actually. But yeah, I like this. I like this stuff a lot. Wheeljack looks good. So, yeah, okay. I think for me, after Generations, the next biggest thing was Creo. Specifically Creons. They're not abandoning the kits, but they are way expanding the Microchange Creon figures with combiners and such. Here we have a Piranicon, which is, or is that Abominus? Was that Abominus? Actually, that's the sort of the suck part. They don't necessarily look like so closely to the original toys. This was Abominus, wasn't it? I don't even remember.
We would have them, yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to be able to see your screen, which none of us can.
They're doing both.
Yeah, I mean, there's Z-Cons because somebody has a shark hat.
I want a shark hat.
I'm sure you can find one on the internet.
Everything's on the internet.
Yes.
All kinds of hats.
Yeah, that's the... I like these. What I like... Okay, I'll go back to what I said before. I love Lego. Lego minifigs. The designers at Lego are just fantastic at getting concepts and ideas across in the little minifig format. Hasbro is getting a lot better with Kreons. Comparing like the current stuff that from series 2. Let me go here to my camera. Like Hook, he looks really nice. Springer, where's Springer? Springer's right here. Really nice. But compare this to the stuff that was originally packed in with the first couple of sets.
Yeah.
You know, these are, like, infinitely better. And Lego, you know, but they're still not quite as sassy and full of character as minifigs are. But with the combiners and the bigger sets, they're able to sort of get around that by basically having a bigger palette to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is Pronicon. Brain fart. it looks really nice. Let's see. What else are... Oh, here's the one for Don.
Well, Don just stepped away.
Don just stepped away. It's hard to tell. His video is frozen.
Yeah, I can't.
RC.
Yeah, that really needs a new helmet. You know, that's... Again, that has been my only real complaint with the Kreons so far is that they really kind of jumped into this before they had enough headgear molds, and almost all the blind bag things reuse existing pieces. We need to see, be it Hasbro or third party, we need to see some more helmet molds to get in the mix here, because it'll really help distinguish the characters a lot more.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. There have been some good ones where they've like, oh, is that guy's helmet? That's a nice reuse of it. And there are others that are like, yeah, they could really use something different there.
Yeah.
A lot of shoehorning going on.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. And sometimes it's hard, a little hard to differentiate between the characters. It's like, oh, is this... let me pick out one that was a good example. Like, I got Warpath. And mm-hmm. Warpath, if you don't have the cannon on his chest in place, he could easily be confused for Ironhide
mm-hmm.
with chainsaws on his arms. So yeah, I don't know. I still really like Kreons. I think that Hasbro still has a way to go to like catch up with Lego. But these are pretty cool. So going back to that conversation that we had Sunday where, I guess it was Rob who had tweeted that awesome quote of mine. Lego is sort of moving into doing more robots and stuff with Lego, like a robot vehicle and another kind of vehicle. Was it the creator line that they're doing that with?
Probably.
Yeah, so it's kind of like Hasbro has been playing in Lego's playground for the last year or two. Like mm-hmm. Lego is now sort of stepping into Hasbro's arena or product line with sort of like triple changing robots, and they look really good. It's not like Lego hasn't owned robots before with like Technic and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the stuff that they are doing with this line just looks a little too close to Transformers, probably for Hasbro's comfort. Because I think if Lego and Creo competes, I don't think there's any way Creo can win. So if Lego wants to crush Creo, I think they're pretty much already doing it. Like XV had pointed out that if you go to Walmart, you're not going to find Creo except when it's on clearance, which makes me really sad. Like, the first time I saw a Creo kit at Walmart recently, the first time I saw it, it was on clearance. It was the Optimus Prime versus Megatron. I think it was the Prime version clearanced.
Hmm.
Sad.
Yeah, the small Creo kits, like the Optimus Prime with no Creon and the matching Bumblebee, were at Aldi for $2 the other day.
Wow.
And also... I work for Walmart. You look down the Lego road. If you just stand there, it's all Lego. It varies from store to store, but we've got 40 feet of Lego. There are Mega Blocks and there are cream in that section, but you can't see it because there's just so much Lego.
So there's Mega Blocks at my Walmart, but all the Creo, all of it has been moved to clearance.
Hmm.
All of it. So Mega Bloks is still there, and Lego, of course, owns that aisle, but it's about it.
I wish someone at Hasbro had realized that Battleship is a movie, and by extension, Creo Battleship was as much of a bad idea as everybody else in the world knew it was.
I think that's like going to your child's ball game and cheering for them, even though you know they suck.
Yeah.
And here's the
thing. It's also known as throwing good money after bad, but, you know.
And here's the thing that happened today, too. You know, we were talking about the Star Trek Creo sets over the weekend, but today, T-16 Skyhop, who was doing his last day of Toy Fair coverage, took a picture of a Mini-Mates Enterprise Captain Kirk set with Kirk's chair. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I have to have that.
Yeah, I know.
I have to have Mini-Mate Kirk with his chair.
Yes.
You know, I have not had that reaction to any Creo stuff so far. And that's, I mean, that's just kind of the end of any interest I would have had in Star Trek Creo, because they can't do that.
I'm just going through, scanning through all of the Creons. There's just so much stuff. And there's just so much potential here. Because it's not like they have to invest a whole lot in creating these. Because, just like Lego...
But maybe they can invest a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but they can always... They, you know, basically they build up a cachet of parts. And then you recombine them, repaint some, tweak one here and there. And then you have, you know, a new character. Or an
I'm hoping that for as long as the larger Creo sets last, they do at least get new Transformers helmet molds cycled in through that and manage to reuse them in the blind bag things. Because like I said, that's like the big thing that would really make Creo for me is if we had more helmet molds because, you know, I would have to take my glasses off for any version of Galvatron's head to quite look like Inferno in purple.
Okay, no, so I was completely off before. That was before that was Abominus. This is definitely Piranicon. It's kind of sad that I was... I guess if they were sitting side by side, it would make more sense. But yeah, this is much, much more like Piranicon than the other was. The other really doesn't scream Abominus to me. It's just a little off, but this is definitely Piranicon. It looks really nice, and for $10, it's a steal. I guess I'm the only one who really loves these things, so I will move on.
Well, Brian, I was going to ask about what did everyone think about the Weaponizer Ultra Magnus?
Sad.
It made me
sad.
I don't even remember it. Was it a repaint of the Weaponizer Optimus Prime?
Yeah.
I don't
care.
And
it makes me sad. It makes me sad because it's just like, I think XV pointed out perfectly, which means that we're going to get Ultra Magnus probably in the show. I mean, not that I care about that a lot. But that instead of doing the cool thing like, I don't know, making a new model for it, they're just going to reuse the Optimus one.
Cheaper.
Yeah.
Also, Phil's trying to get your attention, Brian.
Yep. Sorry.
Unfortunately, I have to take off.
Oh, sorry, Phil.
Yeah, we've only been doing this an hour, Brian, so it's going to be like the longest RFC ever.
Yeah, okay.
Well, in a while,
Phil, thank you for being on.
I'll join you again some other time. How's that?
It was fun
cool.
having you on.
Yeah, just give us a yell.
Yeah.
And moving.
All right, see you again.
See you, Phil.
Hey.
Taking care, everybody.
Bye.
Later.
Okay, so, God, there's so much going on. It's crazy. It's like crazy. There's so much stuff. Just to
probably talk. Good. You covered it on Saturday and Sunday, though.
Yeah. Let's do a couple more things here, non-Toy Fair related. Then we'll cut to comic news. So we got a test shot of what the repaint or remold of Grimlock will be. It's going to be Beast Wars Megatron.
Yeah.
I would love to see that on a better mold for one. Grimlock's not awful, particularly in robot mode, but not the best mold ever. And my big complaint is really needs a new dinosaur mode head because that head is just so Grimlock.
They're not gonna care. They told us we were getting a Beast Wars figure,
and they also said it wouldn't be what you expect.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect a Beast Wars character's head slapped on a crab.
Do you think this is it?
This is it.
It makes sense.
Surprise!
Yeah.
No. Aren't you surprised?
Well, maybe once it's at, please, this.
No.
Once it's painted, no. Maybe.
No.
There's no hope. There's no hope for this.
Beast Wars of Megatron. It's just. The numbers, they don't add up.
None.
Okay, yep. So that's fail. So we actually, I guess one more news item, unless I'm missing something that we really want to talk about.
Well, it depends what the next news item is.
BotCon Skywarp.
Okay, well, no. A magazine came out, and basically it has confirmed that this will be the last season of Transformers Prime, and it will have either 13 episodes and a movie, or it will be 13 episodes including a movie.
I'm betting on the latter.
Yep.
Probably.
Do you want to actually? I haven't seen this today. What now?
Prime is ending after season 3, and sometime in 2014 they're going to start a new series.
Yeah,
which from the lead up to the announcement of Beast Hunters, they've been making noises along those lines. I thought, mm-hmm. This isn't a big surprise to me.
Nope.
Yeah, I just hope that the next series is radically different and nothing like this one,
and not CG, so they can afford more than a dozen characters.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a dangerous thing, though, Rob, because it's really hard to get good cel-style animation.
Prime isn't bad. Prime is not bad at all. It's just not necessarily my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Daring enough. It's just
a series with the overall quality of Prime, but with a different writing team on it.
Yeah, yes. It doesn't quite have the touch that I'm looking for.
Or the power.
It doesn't have power.
Yeah.
Of the kind of show that I would want.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah.
It doesn't dare to be all.
Oh, God. So, so Ramjet, we finally got the vehicle mode for the BotCon Machine Wars line.
Skywarp.
I really like it. It's really nice looking, actually.
And yet, it's exactly what they said the whole thing wasn't going to be.
Yes. Uh-huh. Pretty much. I wasn't told, or I didn't know what was going to be on the cover of the new issue of Transformers Collectors Club magazine. So I got it. I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe I'll see something I haven't seen before. And no. Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's kind of funny where they're like, hey, guess what? We're not going to just repaint new stuff to make it look like Machine Wars stuff. But guess what, kids? That's what you got.
I do have to say, I like the fact that there's a bio for Depth Charge. Because I am really very much looking forward to that toy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And some people have said, well, there's going to be 5. Okay, well, we know that one of them, at least one of them is going to be a Voyager size of something that should be in that size. Does anybody not? Like, is anybody not thinking that that's going to be some sort of Voyager-sized jet of Megatron? Anybody?
It'll be Megaplex instead.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's still going to be a repaint of a Machine Wars thing as Voyager-sized,
no,
right?
It could be the one that's, like, not. It could be, no. Like, a not a Beast Machine Wars character.
They already said it would be.
No. It could be a reinterpretation of another character in a Machine Wars vibe. So let's go Beast Wars instead. It could be Beast Wars Grimlock, which could be based on the Generations Grimlock.
Ooh!
No, that wouldn't quite work.
Well, Brian, have you read the back of the comic?
I actually don't. I normally don't read it. I'm sorry, I'm a terrible fan. Okay.
Well, the comic, last year's story is going into this year's story, and it's Shattered Glass Beast Wars, and Ultra Magnus, Grimlock, Ironhide, Silverbolt, and Prowl have wound up in the Beast Wars era on the alternate Earth.
Okay.
We're talking about Beast Wars, so It's happening just in the Shattered Glass universe.
Okay.
Well, good for, you know, Ben That's and everybody great. For writing it.
Especially considering that the BotCon comic was considered one of the worst Transformers comics ever. So,
why do you say that? So, by consensus, or is that your opinion?
No, that's pretty much consensus. I mean, there's been several
JD's
reviews
opinion
of it.
Is a consensus.
That's true.
No, Chris McFeely reviewed it as well. There was
it's a consensus
several...
of all the voices in his head.
Right. Well, all the voices in my head and Chris McFeely.
Are you sure he's not one of the voices in your head?
That's true.
He's both.
So not only
is Chris McFeely a person, but I also have a version of Chris McFeely that I keep as one of the voices in my head.
Would you prefer that there would be no BotCon fiction? Would you prefer that?
I don't know that I would prefer that. I would just prefer that it not be crap. That would be excellent.
So, are you saying they should outsource it to IDW? James Roberts should do it?
Yes. That makes freaking sense.
BotCon comic, I think we'd have something nice.
Yes, and that makes sense, and it's perfectly doable. I don't understand why it's not done that way. I mean, the fans, for year after year, have kind of said, oh, great, it's the BotCon comic. I mean, other than these guys, for the most part, you know, and don't get me wrong, they're nice guys, and I get it. If I could write a comic, I would. But, you know...
You started to.
Like,
you need to follow through with that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, see how far that got me. At least I know that I'm crap. But anyway, I'm just saying, it's just like, let IDW in on it. You know, let them in.
Yeah, Blade Raider said, just give it to Marty Eisenberg again. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, too. I'm good with that. Let the pros do it. I mean, you've got them there. They want to do stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Okay, so let's see here.
Yeah, I'm not right here. I'm passionate about Transformers that are good writers and would be willing to do the work, happy to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, take advantage of that.
Okay, so let's go ahead and real quick, I want to mention one thing. Thank you to everyone out there that's left us feedback on iTunes. I see that we've received reviews. Thank you. I appreciate that. You can always go back and if you haven't and leave us a review. We link to our iTunes page with every podcast posting. So just go to tfradio.net, look for this posting for this episode, click the iTunes icon, and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. One thing I want to mention, we are not doing a Transformers Rewind this week. We are coming back next week with the Master Force episode, Showdown on the Surface of the Moon, which was chosen by Chris McFeely. So that'll be fun. And we are going to have comic news, though, this week. What are you guys reviewing?
Regeneration 1, number 88.
Oh. Most people love that comic.
Well, good for them. You know, I'd just like to point out, I was looking at the comic sales figures for the last couple of months at yesterday, and More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise have overtaken it in sales, and rightly so.
That's awesome. That's good. That's great. Okay. What are you going to say, Don?
I'm just going to say Regeneration 1 is hitting a certain age of fans, and there's not that many people going back to pick up where they left off versus what's going on now, but...
Yeah,
it's still a good book, and if you read the Marvel run, you need to pick this up too.
Yeah, I don't think Regeneration 1 sales were necessarily sustainable. I don't really know why it honestly sold, because I don't know who it was being marketed to, except for like a couple. Yeah, like me and I don't even want it. And Don,
it's not quite retro enough to be what I really want the book to be, and it's not quite current enough to stand up to the rest of the Transformers comics at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, the sales are still good. They're still in the ballpark of the other two, but I believe that the extra couple of thousand people who are buying the other two books are doing so with good reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get into the whole thing in our segment in a little bit. But, yeah, it's it's not the worst issue of Transformers ever. It's not the worst issue of Regen 1 ever either, but it's
Okay, let's go ahead and cut to that, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, the following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. All right, so this week we'll be talking about issue 88 of Transformers Regeneration 1. But first up, here's Amy.
Hello, and I'm back once again with a Radio Free Cybertron comics news car report. Woohoo! It just kind of happens like that, right? Yay! So, out this week, we have Regeneration 1, issue 88. And we've also been teased with a preview of Monstrosity. So I'm not quite sure when that'll be out, but the release tease, basically, has been teased on iTunes. So hopefully I will be able to tease a few of those pictures. If I say tease again, I'm going to bite my tongue. Anyhow, Andrew Griffith has revealed a cover on his DeviantArt page. So if you haven't had a chance to go check that out, you can. I will provide links. And speaking of reveals, Facebook also has commentary for Spotlight Megatron and More Than Meets the Eye 13. So if you haven't had a chance to read those, they're pretty good. You know, they got some good stuff in there. So yeah, go check it out and see what the creators have to say about their own work. Woohoo! And More Than Meets the Eye, as we're talking about that, even though it's not out this week. Last week we had issue number 13, and there was a prose story, I think 4 or 5 page prose story in the back of that issue. Now some people were worried that only get digital. They were worried that they wouldn't be getting this prose story because, hey, it's in the physical copy, but in the past sometimes it hasn't been in the digital one. So, if you bought this issue on Comixology or IDW or the Transformers app and you didn't get it, you should try and re-update, because John Barber tweeted on his Twitter account that it was unintentionally left out, and it will be available on the digital as well. So if you don't have it, say something, see if there's an error somewhere that you didn't get it or not. Whatnot. Let us know, or let IDW know, and you should be getting it. So it's available on the digital format as well as the physical format as well. Now I don't know if this is going to be in the trade, but I will keep my ear to the internet and I'll let you know if I know. While we're talking to IDW, please send your letters to IDW so they can make a letters page. I had a couple of fans ask me, hey, it's been a while since you've talked about that. You know, remember last year, this time, people were thrilled to see that our first letters page in a long time was in the comics. So, if you start sending your letters and your comments to IDW, maybe they'll continue this trend and we will get more of them. So, I thought I would just put that out there that, hey, IDW is listening. You can say something, and they might print it. Yay! And that pretty much wraps it up for the news this week.
All right, so is there going to be another round of Rob Smash this week?
No, it'd have to be significantly worse for Rob to smash.
But that was so fun with Rage of the Dinobots.
It actually kind of was. I mean, to be able to articulate what it is that bugged me about the issue so clearly, it was a nice change from this or from Prime, where I'm just kind of sitting there going, eh?
Mm. Well, with Prime, all you really can do is sit there and go, eh.
Yeah. I mean, I do have one, I think, pretty solid complaint about this issue, which is that even desperate to save his Dinobots, Grimlock should be smarter than this.
Especially Furman's Grimlock.
Yeah, he's the smartest Grimlock there is, and even I think G1 Grimlock in super childlike mode would not be this trusting of Scorponok.
Well, there was that one time he trusted Megatron.
True. Okay, so they're about even. And that is sad.
Yeah. You know, the preview pages for this issue, they look pretty good compared mm-hmm. to what the previous issues have been. You know, it seemed to have more events packed into them, more going on. But then it seems like almost as soon as it got out of the preview range, it just went right back to normal.
Yeah.
And I hate to be that guy, but I kind of wonder if that wasn't on purpose.
Could be. I've heard of writing for the trades, but writing for the five-page previews is new on me. Worse yet, we've got a combination of both, and that's a hell of a trick. But, you know, there are a few things going on with this that are interesting that I like. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the reintroduction of some really old stuff. That we've got the War World back. We've got the demons who only appeared in one issue of G1 and in the UK comic once. You know, kind of interesting, but not really enough to sustain the whole thing. You know, the best thing about this whole book is Guido's alternate cover. That is beautiful.
I really wish Guido was doing the interior art.
Yeah, because he gets what we wanted this book to be, which is a lot more of a callback to Marvel. That is a Marvel cover. That needs some kind of blurb on the front just to be perfect. But that is a 1980s Marvel comic cover, and it is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, compared to stuff like that, it just seems like the rest of it's missing the point.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said in the review at T-Formers, I understand that to a certain extent because it is next door to impossible, even if you go back and study yourself to write or draw like yourself 20 years ago. You know, your brain just doesn't work that way anymore, and it's really difficult to go back to. But, you know, at the same time, I think that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted to pick up where we left off, and in style and in the time shift and everything, we just haven't quite done that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was really the shoot yourself in the foot moment for this, which, I mean, it was even before the series began, you know, skipping ahead 20 years in the narrative, it just completely disconnects from everything that went before. You know, it's funny. I've been thinking back on this, and this time last year, when this was announced, you know, I felt like, okay, this is the comic book that I want. You know, it's continuing off of Marvel, which I really enjoyed, especially Furman's run on the Marvel comic. You know, it's going to continue off of that. It's going to be great compared to the other stuff IDW's done. But then, you know, it comes out and it's like, why? why isn't this more than meets the eye or even Robots in Disguise?
Yeah. Or at least G2.
Well, yeah.
I think the fact that he's got 20 issues to do what he wants to do is one of the big tripping points here, because I'm not sure he had 20 issues worth of, you know, story set up for this. I know back in the old days, as far as I can tell, he used to plot for stories a year at a time. And I think we're maybe doing a year's worth of stuff over 20 issues.
I mean, when I read this issue, you know, after getting out of the preview pages and it started to slow down, I suddenly found myself looking at it to be continued on the bottom of one page, and it's like, wait, what? What happened to the other half of the issue?
Yes.
I mean, it cuts off basically in the middle of what's going on, not in a cliffhanger style. It's just like, okay, well, this is where the issue ends. And you feel like there's a whole bunch of content that should have been in there that just isn't.
Yeah, matter of fact, the previews mention something, Hot Rod meets Primus, which does not actually happen in the issue.
Yeah.
Hot Rod meets Primus's sword and shield. He does not meet Primus. So that's kind of a problem right there, that the solicits were promising something that does not actually happen in the book.
Although, I can kind of see where this might be going. Do you remember in, I don't even know, it might have been the UK comics, but there was art of Primus and Unicron battling each other in the time before they took physical form in the Transformers universe, and Primus looks an awful lot like Hot Rod carrying a sword and shield.
I'm pretty sure that's what we've been hinting at, and that's why the demons keep saying creator when they look at him, that's... And the real tell is probably the nicest piece of coloring in the book, where you get that nice demon vision shot where he is just full of blinding light. You know, we are... I don't think this is subtle enough to count as foreshadowing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the final story arc is going to be to do with the tear, or whatever it was called, from... was it 81 or 80.5 that set that up? I can't even remember.
I can't either.
But it was one of those two, but it set up the tear being some kind of collusion of time and space or something. Something Doctor Who-ish.
Yes.
And at this point, all I can see happening is that Hot Rod ends up, one way or another, going back and becoming Primus. And starting everything all over again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It had not occurred to me, but yeah. Sounds about right.
And all at once, it's like, I don't want to predict the end of the series that accurately.
A year out.
And I also don't want that to be the end of the series.
Yeah.
It's not just a matter of predicting it ahead of time and possibly spoiling myself to what is going to develop in this, if you can call it developing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that to be the direction this goes. Because if I can sit here and come up with that a year ahead, more even, I mean, what does that say for the rest of the book?
Yeah.
So how do you think the Scorponok storyline is going to resolve in two more issues?
Well, you know, I see one of two ways, which is that basically Rodimus Prime will show up with his fancy new sword and shield and fix everything. Or, you know, the rest of the Decepticons show up and start a big Decepticon Civil War again, and then Rodimus Prime shows up with his fancy new sword and shield to fix everything.
You know, it's entirely possible both those things could be true.
Well,
in two separate story arcs.
Possibly. You know, I'm not discounting the fact that the Decepticons who we are kind of hinting at are converging on Cybertron will not show up in time to argue with Scorponok, which would be more interesting. Because we were making noises about whatever Soundwave is up to during the previous story arc, and it looked like that was actually going to come to a head there, and it did not.
Right.
You know, we got some pacing problems here.
Although, if Bludgeon and Soundwave were to return and start arguing with Scorponok, it would basically just be a rehash of the Decepticon Civil War that already happened in original G1.
That's true.
Which would be bad on its own levels.
Mm-hmm.
So, at this point, it just seems like there's no winning with this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, intentionally or not, Furman is drawing himself into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just nowhere else he can go with this. It's kind of stuck now.
Yeah. I think because he's going back to some of the old themes, that's kind of necessarily a consequence of that. He would have, I know that, like I said, this is a well-trodden set of plot points for him. And I think, you know, to really break out of what this is looking like it's going to be, he would have to go in an entirely new direction. And I kind of think that for him, the nostalgia part is going back over some of this old ground, as opposed to doing things in the older style.
Right, and the older style is what we wanted, not retreading stuff he's already done.
Yeah, new stories in the older style, not old stories in a newer style.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been too long since G1 ended the first time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when somebody tells you about something that happened a long time ago that you don't remember anymore. From that point on, you remember the story of it happening. So intellectually, you know that happened. But you never have the same experience of it again.
Yeah.
And that's really what has happened to Furman between 1990 and 2012.
Thanks, guys. That was awesome. So make sure that you are following us on Facebook. I guess that's being our fan or liking us. They change that around so much. Go to facebook.com/TF Radio. We've been posting a lot of stuff there, comparatively speaking, trying to get feedback from people. We'd asked what people thought about Megatron. I think generally people are kind of mixed. It's one of those things. I think it has potential. You guys don't.
I would really like to see it in transmetal colors. I would probably get it in that case, but
yeah.
In general, like I said, you know, kind of Grimlock himself is kind of on the mediocre side. Nice robot mode, not great dino mode, and you know, so Megatron will be about the same.
Yeah, yeah. But we have a lot of fun interaction there. I post a lot of stuff that normally wouldn't make the show, some news, and just lots of random crazy crap that Transformers-related stuff that I find that interests me, like Steve O. Stonebreaker's website, where it used to hold the Alt Toys Transformers FAQ from back in the day. He has some interesting old bits of fiction that are really obscure that most people don't even know about, like some foreign coloring books that just has crazy, way out there story arcs. And it's like Megatron, what was it? Megatron wanted to steal an asteroid because it was full of gold so that he could buy a human factory to build Decepticons to take over the world. Great stuff like that.
Makes sense.
That it sounds like a G1 Megatron plan.
I know.
It does.
Isn't it great? But yeah, so always posting stuff like that and interesting, funny videos and commercials that interest me.
I wonder if the giant purple griffin was a coloring book script that accidentally got to the cartoon people.
Or a Madman's Paradise. I could see it.
Oh, that made perfect sense.
I love Madman's Paradise, but I could see that being a coloring book script that got promoted to the TV. That was the episode that we did last week. If you haven't had a chance, go back and watch last week's Rewind. It was pretty great. Like I'd mentioned, next week we'll be back with Rewind with an episode from Master Force. If you are not watching us live every Wednesday around 8:30 Eastern time, you should really do that. We have an awesome chat room that we interact with during the show and before the show. They are serenaded with Minecraft talk or Pokemon or other things that I don't quite get. So like in most instances, I'm just sort of confused and I ramble.
Do you hurt yourself in your confusion?
Oh, yes, I hurt myself in my confusion. It's kind of great. But after we have a Google Plus Hangout that our pal Diecast hosts for us, because I'm a Luddite and I don't know how to start it. So,
Brian, if you were going to start it, you'd need, like, you know, 3 or 4 more pieces of hardware and probably another internet upgrade.
Yeah, I would suggest you probably need to buy a couple of domains as well.
That's a great idea.
What did we get you to register last week? I already forgotten.
I forgot. I registered on yourtv.com last night. So that
it was something about the wiki, like wiki what or wiki now or
Wikipedia what or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never do anything with it. Here's $3. Who cares? After the show, we have a Google Plus Hangout that Diecast puts on for us, and that's a lot of fun. It's a sort of a chance to interact in a different way beyond just the chat. So if you're able to hang out after the show, we're going to talk more about Toy Fair 2013 and all of the awesome stuff that was there.
So it's like RFC Generation 2?
It's like RFC Generation 2 or RFC, like what was the Ghostbusters spinoff? Or the Knight Rider spinoff, the one where they had new people.
Oh,
Knight Rider.
Yeah,
Team Knight Rider.
And what was the Ghostbusters cartoon?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's awesome. So
well, maybe we should go more like the G.I. Joe Extreme model.
Actually, what if we went the other way and it would be like,
oh God, can we end this? I'm sorry I said anything.
It would be like the it'd be like the G.I. Joe direct tape that comes with the figures. and RFC, we can have to hang out via VHS, and we just mail the tapes to each other.
Okay.
Let's do that. Okay. And you can circle us at tfradio.net/G+ for the hangout. And I guess that'll do it. Guys, it's been fun. We had a lot of news to cover this week. We probably won't have that much news next week. I can't guarantee it.
Until next year.
Yeah, probably.
Or BotCon or SDCC. Yeah.
Since I'm not, I don't think any of us are going to BotCon this year.
Mm-mm.
I mean, John will be there, I'm pretty sure, but
maybe.
Yeah. I'm certain there'll be a lot of
BotCon stuff. But he's not here right now.
I know, he didn't sign on.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. John's been busy with work.
I've got the hotel I had the hotel reservations the day the information went live. I'm going to try to be there this year. I don't want to break my streak, but, again, it has to be where I'm at a stable place with everything going on. But I'm going to try to be there, so.
Okay.
Let's see.
I hope you're able to make it, Don. That would be awesome. You'll have to, like, tweet us or something during the show. And tell us what's going on.
Okay, I think I can learn Twitter now and then.
That would be sweet. You could tweet. Okay, so that'll do it. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Have a good
day. Take care, man.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.